Well, today we're going to talk about delays. We're actually in between a season right now. We've had Easter, which was just about 6-7 weeks ago. And then 7 weeks later, we'll have Pentecost Sunday, which will be next Sunday. But in between, there was a wait or delay. And I want to talk about this today. I want to talk about the delays that we may be facing in life, the delays that you might find yourself in at this moment. And how do you deal with it? What are you supposed to do? Does God say anything about that? I'm going to believe today that He wants to speak to you. So come on, let's pray for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask you, we pray you would do something deep within all of us. Lord, just challenge us, encourage us. Maybe there's some things that need a change in our hearts and lives. Lord, you are a wonderful friend and you're a wonderful person. You're the Godhead. You're able to come and transform us in ways that we've never been transformed before. So Holy Spirit, come and move. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about delays. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I think delays are a pain in the neck, you know what I mean? It's like you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to get something, you're waiting for something, and there's a delay. You know, it's worse than a wait, isn't it? Because a wait, you kind of have an idea of what, how long you're waiting for, possibly, but delay feels like, oh, it's out of control. What are we going to do? And I guess the most famous delays are those that are in airports. So I decided to have some fun. I looked it up. I looked up the most craziest and longest delay ever recorded, or as far as I did some research on Google. You may find better. If you do, send us a message. But here's what it said. Here's the date. I'm going to challenge you with it. It's New Zealand, 7th of December, 1941. What's about to happen? Well, here's what's about to happen. Pearl Harbor has just been attacked. And what these guys were sitting on a plane called the Pacific Clipper, and they're ready to go from New Zealand back to the US. And it couldn't happen because of Pearl Harbor, which if you don't know about, you gotta Google. It was a terrible, terrible, crazy event in history. But instead of being delayed for a week originally, it took one full month for the guys who were on that plane to get back home to the US. It was a month's delay. If you can beat that, show me. I read another one. It was called the Nut Gate. It was back in Korea a few years ago. I think it was like the vice chairman of like Korean aerospace or something like that, something prestigious, you know. This lady was on the plane, and what happened was she was on the plane, it's just about to take off. They served her nuts, but they served her peanuts in a bag instead of a plate, and she flipped the lid and she fired people on the plane, and the plane couldn't take off. Or the stupidest one that I read was called Bee Gate, and it was this bunch of bees that got onto a plane, and you're like, oh, and the plane couldn't take off until the bees were taken out first. They had to be taken off. It delayed the whole plane. And so some of these are funny, but some of them are serious. But the same thing happens. Time gets lost. Delays come and time gets lost, and we've got to wait, we've got to endure, and we've got to try to overcome. And so what do you do about this? You know, I was thinking about the crazy few weeks that the disciples faced in between the cross and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming. And I thought about this. You know, they've seen the cross, they've seen the resurrection, they've seen Jesus come back alive again, they've heard all the stories, then they see Jesus leave, and now they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. It's a crazy series of events. We've got him, we've lost him, we've got him back again, he's gone. It's like, can you imagine how confused they must have been? And right here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we see it. They say this, they gathered around Jesus and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They don't know it, but a moment or two later, he's about to leave. And they pose this question. Says, is it now, Lord, that we get to win? Like, can we win yet? It's like, they hadn't got a clue. And you know, sometimes you think, you feel like that. It's like, are we there yet? And you don't know the obstacles that your family have been through to get to this place. You're just like, can we just get there? Can we win yet? And it was just about them. And can it be us and Israel, Lord? And when do we win? And of course, the Lord goes on to say, hey, no, there's actually going to be a delay and a wait. The delay will be Jesus coming back someday. We don't know when, but he's going to come back someday. And then it's the Holy Spirit, but he's coming soon. You don't know when, but he's definitely coming soon. And so it says this in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1. It says, and he said as he was taken before their very eyes, a cloud hid him from their sight. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him before their sight. Could you imagine this? You know, it's already shocking for us when we see it like in Avenger movies or Marvel movies or superhero movies, but there's never been a movie yet. And here's Jesus, it's like, phew, he's gone. It's like, what? I mean, the disciples, they must have been like, whoa. Like, this is the coolest, craziest moment in all of history. It says they were looking intently up to the sky. I don't know about them, but I would have been definitely going, wow, this is crazy. Jesus just like zipped right out of here. And when suddenly, now get this, it gets even crazier. When suddenly two men dressed in white, angels, stood beside him and said, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way. Have you seen him go into heaven?" Wow. And they're basically saying to these angels, it's like a tiny rebuke. It's basically saying to them, look, guys, you can't stand here looking for Jesus. I mean, he ain't coming back this quick. You can't sit up here looking for him. He's got plenty of things to do. You've got plenty of things in between to do. He's got plenty of things to do. You can't stand looking up like this forever. You've got to move on. And today I want to just nudge us a tiny bit. Maybe you're in a delay, but there's work to do. Maybe there's been a delay. You're unsure what to do. I'm telling you, there's work to do. And it's for us as a church, as a body of believers, this delay, as believers, we all live in it. We're still living in the delay of, when is Jesus coming back? We don't know yet. We don't know when he's coming back. But if we choose to sit and wait and look up, or just sit at our window and look out, or just happen to twiddle our thumbs. You remember people used to twiddle their thumbs? I don't know if anybody does that anymore. But could you imagine if we did that? Could you imagine if we did that? We'd spend forever just waiting instead of being busy. And God says today, I want you to get busy. And so we're going to look at some of this. Jesus says, I'm coming back, but I need you to get busy in the waiting. And so today we're going to think about being renewed and renewed, you know, as people in the body of Christ. So we're going to read a verse. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former life, manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's what Paul's saying. Guys, I want you to get something here. He says, I'm shouting from the rooftops. I want you to realize there's an old self to put off. There's a new self to realize that Jesus has renewed, and then there's a new thing to put on. I want you to know you got to put this on. And when you put it on, your life is never going to be the same again. In a lot of ways, it's like a prisoner. It's like a prisoner gets freedom, and then they leave the prison. But if you're not careful, you could start to create your room like it was in prison. You could start to keep the same friends like you did in prison. You could start to keep the same routines like you did in prison. You might even keep on the old prison clothes. But if you do that, even though you've got freedom, it's like everybody thinks you're still a prisoner and you think you're still a prisoner. And I'm convinced today there's a lot of us as Christians that have received freedom in Christ that are still walking around, acting, talking, and behaving as if we were still prisoners instead of free men and free women in Christ. Amen? And so I'd love us to look at this today. I'd love us to challenge our hearts and say, come on, he has done something. And yes, we're in a delay of, Jesus, we want you to come back. But in between, he's made me new and he's renewed me. And so I want to walk into absolutely everything that he's got for me. I've been set free. I've been made alive. And now big changes happen in my life every day. You see, the Bible says that we are new creations, or it refers to this term of being old, or, you know, letting go of your old self and putting on your new self. And so what I started to think about was old dead people, because this is who we are before we were in Christ. We're like old dead people. It's just like dead in the things of God, dead in ourselves, really. Even though we're alive physically, we're dead spiritually. And then we come to Christ and we become alive spiritually. And now we're alive in the things of God. And we've got to recognize this and realize this. Otherwise, we may tend to turn around and think of ourselves still in the old life. So I want to say this. We've got to let go of the old dead self, or the old dead person. Here's what I find about old people, and this is not a bash on old people. This is just to show that they've got probably, most likely, less time to live than they did before. And as a result, they're closer to death than closer to life. And so what tends to happen is they slow down, they get stiff, they get aches and pains, they get sick a lot, they get grumpy sometimes. You know, they get impatient, and maybe sometimes they just become a bit docile, and they just don't have the same energy as they had before. And I'm concerned that as Christians with loads of life to live, this is how sometimes we are living our lives. We're living as dead old people instead of the new creations that God has called us to be. And you notice the language here that Paul says, there's a putting off and there's a putting on. There's something that we have to do. This is not salvation. This is the new life where we put off the old self and we put on the new clothes. We put on the new idea or the new man every single day. And we move forward in that. And so we are new creations created in the likeness of God. So here's three quick keys that I want us to think about today to challenge your heart. Number one, we do this. We put off our old clothes. We put off our old self, like the prison clothes. You see, your former life was corrupt, and we want to put that off. I don't want to bring corruption back into me. I don't want to come back with the old thoughts, the old ways, the old ideas. Otherwise, I might as well be the old person. But I'm not the old person anymore. My spirit has been completely changed. The problem is here. My mind needs to recognize and realize on a daily basis, I am a new creation. So I put on that new mindset. I put on that new thought process. I put on the things that God has given me. And what can happen is we start off good and then we start to put the old clothes back on. Maybe because we get around our old friends or, you know, just old habits die hard, or we don't pursue the things of God. In other words, we don't continue that process of discipleship. We don't keep plugged in with the things of God. We don't allow other people to plug in with us. We're not being dedicated with the things of God. Because remember, we're called to be followers. And if we're called to be followers, then we're called to be disciples. And a disciple means that you're always growing. You're always learning. You're putting these principles and practices of God into your life. And if you don't do this, then you can start to say things like, I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, or I shouldn't really be free. You start to talk all this negative stuff to your life. And you might have some things to deal with, and so go for that, deal with that. But if you find it just tripping you up every so often, then we gotta go, no, this is not who I am. And then it talks this other phrase, deceitful desires. See, it can seem good. It can seem like a good idea to go here or do this or be there or not go to this or miss this thing, but it's like deceitful desires. Desires are one of the most powerful parts about us, this emotion, this passion, this desire to go after something. It can start a business, it can get married, it can cause you to, leave your country and go to a new one. It can cause a complete life change because of a desire. But Paul says, watch out for deceitful desires. They seem really good, but they're deceitful. You can't see the full truth. You see, here's what I want us to realize, is that my old self doesn't belong to me any longer. Your old self doesn't belong to you any longer. Maybe you've got to say that over your heart. Come on. Your old self doesn't belong to you any longer. If you put your trust in Jesus, your old self, your old mind doesn't belong to you anymore. So all the things you've done, all the regrets and everything, there's a line been drawn on that. God's covered all of that stuff. Of course, there are mistakes you've made. Of course, there are regrets that you have about certain things, but they should not have power on your life anymore because God has done something with it. And if you're feeling that you're not free in that, then come on, come chat to some of us. We can help you to step into more of that freedom. That doesn't have to be your location any longer. And then number two, he does. You see, we do this kind of we do sandwich. It's we do, and then at the end we do, we put off, we put on, but in between, God's doing something. It says that he renewed, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. He knows exactly what's going on here. He says, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because if we don't get a mind change, then we're going to continue to do all the things that we did before. See, there's a makeover that needs to happen, a supernatural makeover, and it's not really so much an outside one, it's an inside one, and it's not really a heart thing, it's a head thing, and if God can do it and you allow him to do it on a daily basis, you will be forever changed. You see, here's how simple we can make it tonight, is that before we were programmed for sin, for failure, and for death. You gotta know this. This is how you were programmed, for sin, failure, and death. But now we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got life, victory, wholeness, and abundance. Everything's changed about us. Now, here's what I want to just give you a glimpse of for a moment. Maybe this helps you to understand. Years ago, when I was 16, I got the opportunity to go to an IT business. I love computers, I still do. And this guy showed me how to build computers. I got to learn how to do it. And it was really fun and really great. And so I got to put all these brand new parts into a box. If it was an old computer, I took it apart and I put all these brand new parts in. And then we checked it and we're like, wow, that's incredible. But the computer was not ready to go yet. There was one crucial piece missing. In fact, it's the link for everything. It was like its brain. It's called the software. You could have the best parts in the world, but if the software is not right, it will not use those parts in the way that they should be used. And I want to say to us today, you may have had the upgrade in Jesus. You might have the new heart, the new spirit, but what about your mind? To get that, you need an OS, an operating system. You need a software upgrade. And if you get that, then suddenly your life will never be the same again. Once you get this software upgrade or this operating system upgrade. So maybe you've got your phone and you're like, software updates, oh no. The idea of a software upgrade is that it makes things better. And as we upgrade our phones with the latest software, it helps our phones to work to their highest potential. That's what we're hoping for. And it's the same for us in our lives. And I want to make this link. What if you've got the new parts, you've got the new heart, you've got the new spirit, but your OS is still the same, your operating system is still the same, your mindset is still the same. So even though you've got the new parts, the old system is going to make these new parts redundant. In fact, the old system is going to corrupt the new parts, and they're going to have no value and no purpose, and there's going to be this incredible struggle where you're going to go, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense. And so I want to say to us today, this is why we need to upgrade not just the internal, which the Holy Spirit does and the Lord does that, but He also wants to upgrade the software in our brains. He wants to upgrade us so we go from sin, failure, and death to life, victory, wholeness, and abundance. And we can see this. And this is why it's so important, because to get this upgrade, we need to read, we need to pray, we need to worship, go to church, be in the right company, and it's a consistent daily thing. If it's not, we're gonna find ourselves again. The old software is gonna corrupt the new parts. And we don't want that, because God has done a great work inside of us. So we push forward and we say, God, come on, you're doing something inside of me, so I'm going to surrender, I'm going to pursue, I'm going to press in, and I know that you're going to do something wonderful. And then the third thing is we do as well. We put on the new self, the new clothes. Here's what it says in verse 24. We put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Two things here. We decide to live for Christ and we decide to die to self. These are very, very important. As Christians, we choose to live for Christ and we choose to die to self. If we only do one of those and not the other, it's no good. If we choose to live for Christ and not die to self, well then selfish desires will constantly undermine us. If we choose not to live for Christ and only die to self, well then what are we living for? I want to live for Christ and die to self. That's the goal of my life. I want to encourage you, that's the goal of every Christian. That's the way God wants each and every one of us to live. Die to self and live for Christ. And so we need this newness. New places, new talk, new attitudes, new mind. All of these things are so, so important. Otherwise, again, the old corrupts the new. Ephesians 4:25 makes it plain and simple. I want to read this over your heart. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we all are members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the enemy a foothold. So important. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and passionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Wow. These verses are loaded, saying, you were once this, now be this. God's not saying you've got to do it in your own strength. He's saying by grace. As you, and here's what I've learned with the goodness of God. As we spend time with him, he changes us. You become like whoever you spend time with. As we spend time with him, we start to change. And suddenly these verses are not something that we have to do. These verses are just something that begins to happen already. There's just a natural overflow. There's just a natural output because we're putting different things in and we work very simply. Bad in, bad out. Good in, good out. Once that better stuff goes in, more, just better will come out. The more like Christ will come out. And the goal of all of our lives is during this delay, we're becoming like Christ because he's coming back for someone and he's coming back for us. You see, it's out with the new, out with the old, and in with the new. And here's what you'll start to discover and what you should see when you talk to your friends and family. You once used to talk survival. You were in survival mode. Your language was about survival. I gotta beat you. I gotta put this person down. I gotta lie to win. I gotta cheat and steal to overcome. I gotta just do this. I gotta be dishonest. I gotta tell a few white lies. It's just part of life. I gotta do this. It was survival mode. And so every action, every thought, every just even your prayer, every word that you spoke went together with that. But once you get this in Christ, once you know who you are, once you put off and put on the new self, you will find yourself moving from survival to revival. And suddenly now your words help. Your words bring benefit. Your words bring change. Your life makes a difference. The way you live, the way you talk, the people you surround yourself with, you're no longer just taken, but you're given in so many different ways. And now you are a blessing to be around. And you bring transformation. And the world is a much better place for you. Not just because maybe you're a good businessman or you're a good person at this or good at that, but because you carry the presence and power of God and it literally transforms people's lives. You see, here's the big picture. The delay will be over soon, the Bible says. He says, I'm coming back soon. We don't know when that is. Doesn't matter how many prophecies you hear, the Bible makes it very clear. No man will know the time or hour when I come back. Only my Father in heaven. Only God knows. But in the delay, are we going to wait? Or are we going to get busy? In the delay, are we going to sit there and just look like old dead people? Or are we going to get ready for a move of God and actually be the move of God that people need? You see, here's the truth. Final thought today. Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back for a beautiful bride. He uses this metaphor. He says, no matter if you're a girl or a guy, I want you to think of it like the marriage, like a marriage thing. You've given your life to me. It's a bit like marriage. I'm the husband. You're the wife. You're my beautiful, spotless bride. And I'm coming back to you, the Bible says, when you're ready and when you're beautiful and spotless without wrinkle. So I know this. God is coming back for a beautiful, strong bride. And he says for each and every one of us, I want you to be beautiful, strong Christians. I'm coming back for you. And could you imagine just for a moment today, a bride who never went and got a dress? Never went and got the shoes, never went and got the makeup organized and the flowers organized or the car organized, never organized anything. You might ask one straightforward, simple question. Does she even want to get married? Is she happy just to be single? Does she just want to live in her old life forever? Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit would ask you the same question today. You've given your life to Christ. Maybe not. We will pray in just a moment that you would. But for those that you've given your life to Christ, you recognize to some degree you're the bride of Christ. He's coming back for a beautiful bride. But when he looks at you, does he see a person busy in the kingdom of God, getting ready? A bride never gets more ready than for a wedding day. At least that's what I've seen. Just dreaming about it forever, preparing about it forever. And then those days and weeks and hours beforehand, it's just intense preparation because they're so excited for this day that's about to happen. I tell you, this is who we are in Christ. We'd be people that, although we live under a delay, we will be preparing and getting busy, and we'll be so excited because we know he's just about to come. And it's not just for him that we're getting ready, but we want to gather up as many people as possible because he's coming back for as many people as possible. And we get to play a vital role in that as we share testimony, share our faith, share our story, and live out the new self, the new creation that God's put in us. There's something about it. When we start to shine for Jesus, when we start to shine for him, it's attractional and people start coming to this light and they receive this light as well. This is who we are in Christ. And so as Christians, we're living in a delay, but we're busy living like Christ until his return. Guys, we're going to pray. I want to pray today
I want to pray first for those that don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never put off the old self and you've never put on the new self. Maybe you find yourself and you've put off the old self and God's begun to do a work in you, but you've never put on the new self. You never put on that new things that God has for you. You've never put on the new things that he has planned for you. Or maybe you once did, but you've got stuck somewhere along the way. Maybe you're just fully consumed by the delay. You're just sick of the delay in life. You're sick of what's going on in life. And you say, I cannot do it a moment longer. I want to encourage you, continue to put on that new self. Continue to put on that newness that God has for you, because you are a new creation in Christ. And get that upgrade. Get that software download. Get that fresh install of the Holy Spirit will help you to think differently and use all these new parts that God has given you, this new man, this new woman, to its full potential. And I tell you what, your life will be so much different and you'll feel so much better, and purpose and destiny will just flow from you. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I pray today for anybody who doesn't know you. I pray, Lord, that they would put their trust in Jesus. I pray even right now we begin to see that we've got problems, we've got faults, we've got feelings, and if God judged us against his holy standard, the Ten Commandments, we would not make it into heaven, because the ultimate thing is we've got to be perfect. And we know there's sins, there's lies, there's deceitful desires and thoughts, there's taking your name in vain. There's so many different ways that we've had faults and feelings. But today, Lord, we say, I need you. I need you. And I want to come just the way that I am. I don't know about all that other stuff yet, but God says, don't worry about it. Come to me first and I will help you. I will save you. And then I will rejuvenate you and help you, because I've got to do that middle work. I've got to do that renewal work. I've got to do that transformational work. And so I pray today, Lord, anybody that needs you would say yes right now in Jesus' name, right now. Come on, be bold and do it in Jesus' glorious name. And Lord, for those that have put their trust in you, come on, we are not going to live the old life, old dead people, or turning around sometimes, or getting satisfied with the old things, the old ideas. No, we're moving forward because we know what God's called us to. And so, Lord, I'm putting on this new self on a daily basis. I'm pursuing the things of God. I'm going forward in the things of God. I will not be held back because I know he's bought me at the highest price. Lord, I'm going to be busy in the delay. I'm not going to sit and wait or moan and complain. I'm going to be busy in the delay. So renew my strength right now. Holy Spirit, would you come and strengthen your people? And Lord, I pray for anyone who's just struggling with an old mindset, struggling with the thoughts of delay, struggling with the thoughts of regret and shame from the past. There is breakthrough. There is breakthrough. There is breakthrough. Lord, I pray confidence and boldness to seek out help in that. I pray confidence and boldness right now to seek and ask the Lord for help as we endure, as we go through, knowing that he is able to do so much more than we can ask or possibly ask, imagine, or think. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, touch us. And Holy Spirit, right now, just come and move in our hearts, in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.